Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and this is a live prophecy reality edition. Yes, we come here once a week, every Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific time, noon, the other time, Eastern time. And we have the studio cam is on. The chat rooms are open. I'm looking at First Amendment Radio chat room. Good to see you there, Dale and Fireman Mike and others. Let's see. Also have the Dale's also in the YouTube chat room over there, and nobody is in the Rumble. So if you're listening on Rumble, say hi in the chat room over there. Would really appreciate it. Well, I guess today's broadcast is CBDC or World War III. Yes, can we have both? That's the question. Can we have both? Will we have both? Is World War III a real threat? Well, I don't know. The Antichrist doesn't control everything, though he does. The scripture says that he would have them in derision, though they counsel together against him and against his anointed. Good to see Stephen in the chat room. And for even Christ forever. Oh, forever in Christ in the chat room over there. Good to see you all this morning. But anyway, getting back to where we were going today. CBDC or World War III? Can we have both? And speaking of the Antichrist, I listened to a lot of other programs during the week. I listened to, of course, David Knight, and I listened to everything on FAR as much as I can pay attention to it when I can. I listened to True News, and I listened to Stu Peters, and let's see, what else? And several other news aggregator sites out there and news sites on YouTube. So I try to listen to a lot of stuff. I'll check on Donald Trump and Robert Kennedy to see what they're saying today or every couple days or something, just to see what's going on there. So I have a lot of news in my brain and organizing it. Now that's the problem. I need to write things down in order that I want to relay them and my thoughts on them. But anyway, the World War III threat, really big on True News over there with Rick Wiles. And sometimes I really like his name because it's so easy to pick on, you know, because the only place I see Wiles is the wiles of the devil. Not saying anything really bad about Rick Wiles himself, except his eschatology is all wrong, and he's really scared of World War III, and he's blaming the Masons, the Jews, and the Rothschilds. All he has to do is open up his Bible and read the end of the book about the Antichrist, how he shows up at the end, and he tries to enforce a mark and a number on everyone in the whole wide world so that in order to buy or sell or trade under penalty or threat of death, or at least a death in the culture, if not a literal death by martyrdom. He totally ignores that, and he's selling his book, Final Day, that's it. So his eschatology is wrong, his theology is messed up, but his news is great if you want to focus on the war scene and what's going on there over there. He's pretty good on that, and he's pretty good at catching up with everything I've already heard everywhere else. So he's always a day late, but for most people, you know, they'll never hear any of it anyway. So it's always worth check it out. But he does ignore the Antichrist. He never rarely has a bad word to say about the great apostasy and the man of sin. And he seems to be, though he doesn't really mention the Antichrist very much, he seems to be waiting for the anti-Antichrist of dispensationalism, even though he's not a pre-trib rapturist. There you go. And I find a lot of people that finally give up the rapture, and instead of being pre-trib and the secret rapture, they become post-trib. Yeah, they're still hanging on that seven-year trib, which is, you know, we will have a seven last years, but it's really not spoken of as a special period in the Bible, nor is it Daniel's 70th week. And we've discussed that many, many times. So, but getting back to CBDC or World War III, if we have World War III, what happens to CBDC? I mean, especially if the World War III comes to America, if it visits our shores, if we have a couple nuclear hits, how well is the internet going to work for CBDC and the worldwide Mark of the Beast? Or could that be the derision that God enters into the picture? We have to ask ourselves all these questions when we're looking at prophecy and reading the scripture and trying to figure out how this all fits. But I do notice from watching the Ukraine thing over there in Russia, and, you know, watching on what is that app that we have, Telegraph, Medvedev, that's it, Medvedev, and the continual comments coming from Russia and the threats of nuclear annihilation and all of that stuff for Western Europe and America, it would seem that America might feel something, whether we'll have an invasion other than the one that's already going on from the Antichrist hordes that are coming across the southern border, which include, you know, many, many thousands of Chinese in the last year. Of course, China Joe is, this is why China pays him to keep the border open. And this is why the Antichrist and China, really China, is the whole China operation of moving all of America's technology and industry to China has been a 50-year Jesuit operation. And doing very well. They've done a very well job to make us now the debtee to China, where they own much of our national debt, but by having stolen everything from us with the help of their friends, the Jesuits. Yes, that army, that Chinese, I mean, that Vatican army that is at work in the world, conquering the world for the man of sin. You see High Karate over there in the chat room. You're welcome for the videos. I just wish more people would see them. We're pretty heavily shadow banned by Google, and that, of course, includes YouTube. And we practically stayed off of YouTube. I'm trying to get back on. I can't say certain things. You still can't say certain things on YouTube. But as far as the pandemic and all that goes, what more can be said, you know, with everything else that's going on? So sometimes, but today I'm not going that route. But I guess they're allowing you to talk about the election now. How nice of them. Yeah, and just because I speak against them, even when I'm on the air, because their infringement of our right to free speech is egregious. It's criminal, as far as I'm concerned. They're supposed to be a public square, but once they start infringing, they are no longer a public square. But some people only pay attention to YouTube. They never even go to the other alternative medias. But what are we going to have beyond 2030 anyway? because we're still on this march to the mark of the beast. So, and as I'm saying, CBDC or World War III, can we have both, or which will it be? Because the New World Order has to choose. And now if the New World Order is making the choice, what will they choose? Or will that derision that God holds them in keep them from fully grasping what they desire with all their heart, and that is complete control over the whole world? But then we have the scripture, and we have the kings of the east, which has really not been an active thing in prophecy yet, that the way for the kings of the east may be made. Well, the woe to Christianity that existed before, the Turkmen and Islamic powers that were a woe to Western Christianity for the last 1,000-1,500 years, has now gone away. There is a kind of different woe from Islam that is entering into Western Europe. That is still a woe there. Just go ask them in France, although they're keeping it out of the news, or they're changing the news about it. You have like another French Revolution going on, but it's an Islamic revolution. But they're not telling you that news. But if you listen to, Chris Pinto during the week, we have him on, or you can go to his site, Noise of Thunder Radio, and catch his last broadcast. And he talks about what's really going on over there in France, underneath. But because the mainstream news doesn't want you to know this is going on. But they are suffering a different kind of woe from Islam. It's now in their nations, and they have been, through immigration, has been one tactic that the Antichrist has been using for the last 10 years to totally swamp and overthrow all the free nations of the West. And it's just part of his agenda, because no one thing seemed to work in the past. So now he's coming at us from 100 different ways, you know, but you can point out to 10 major ways. The immigration is one of them. The other is the woke agenda, being it false history and, well, Marxism, basically, and everything they can do to bring that in. They did not have enough effect with the planned genocide, you know, from the pandemic, that has been, well, very effective as anything else, but it's just one more venue of attack that they've been using on the whole world to just throw the whole world into convulsions, which, because the Antichrist knows if he can create chaos, well, there you have it, ordo ab chao, or order out of chaos. And so we see all this chaos going on from every quarter. Who can keep up with it? Well, nobody in their right mind can keep up with it. And we have a lot of people that are not in their right minds. If we had more people in their right minds, it would be a lot, we'd be a lot better off. But I think there are a lot of people waking up to what's going on. But the attacks are so varied and from so many directions that it's hard to grasp and even believe that we can overcome and regain any kind of normalcy, or at least what used to be normal. It seems like it can never come back. And I believe that the scripture, the prophecy of scripture, foretells everything that's going on. And from what I read, the kings of the East, and I'm going to just name them, Russia and China, and whoever else will move with them, but I think Russia and China will be enough of a woe to Western Europe. because I see Western Europe backing up suddenly from the whole Ukraine and the provocation of it. At least the people are, and some of the governments there are seem to be paying attention to their people. They don't want to quite go all the way, but they don't want to stop pushing at Russia. They seem intent on starting something. Well, I would pretty much say that Russia and China are allied against America. Yeah. So it doesn't look so good. And with America and, of course, NATO, and America being prominent in NATO with a demented man supposedly in charge and running everything. Yes, I do speak of Joe Biden. It's just the more you look at it, the more you speak of it, and the more you see what's going on, the more crazy and uncontrollable it all seems. But there is one that is in control of it all, who saw it all, and who will come and put a stop to all of it. But he told us in his word, when he spoke of the three frog-like spirits that were loosed, yes, at the French Revolution, that it would get louder and louder and louder. The croaking of those three frog spirits would become louder and louder and louder until the great day of God Almighty, when the King of Kings will appear and things will definitely change. Then the world will unite. It will have one object to unite against. They will shut up and they will put all of their squabbles down. The world will, as the people of God on the planet join him when he returns. That'll create further chaos, but it'll take away all of the dissenting voices from out of the nations of the earth. Yes, because all of God's people that are in the earth now will be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye when they come, and we will be caught up to meet him upon his return. And no, we will not do a U-turn and go to heaven for 7 years for the marriage supper of the Lamb. We are remaining on the planet, and the marriage of the supper of the Lamb is going to take place on earth, because the scripture gives us no alternative. Unless you believe in the secret rapture fantasy. Okay? And that's a total construct. None of that is directly from the scripture. Is it explicitly stated anywhere in the scripture? So when he comes, then the world will forget all of their squabbles. Because really, we're the only anti-Christ, yes, or Christ power in the world that is opposing the Antichrist and all of his efforts at everything that he is doing. You see people that are conflicted in the world, like, well, Donald Trump, for example, he favors Christians, so he's kind of a Cyrus type character, but he is an ungodly man, because at the same time, on the other hand, he has a gala celebration at his home in Mar-a-Lago, celebrating transgender LGBTQ whatever rights. Okay? So you see a conflict there within the souls of these people that are split in the world. And that goes for Robert Kennedy Jr. That goes for Ron DeSantis too. A good Catholic boy, but still his great papa is not our Father who art in heaven, but his Father who art in Rome, the great Pope, the great father of the great apostasy, the man of sin, who sits in the seat of the chair of the Antichrist and in the midst of the church, proclaiming that he is God, usurping the place of Christ in his church on earth. So we see conflicts everywhere, and there is no hope in any of them, because the cacophony will not stop. The prophecy is true. It will get louder and louder and louder until the day that Christ returns. Then it will stop, and then the world will be cohesive, because they will have one enemy, and that will be Christ, where he returns with all of his people from all time, the saints from all time, from Adam and Eve. Everyone will be there. And then everyone who is alive and remains on the earth will be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, to join him in the clouds when he returns. We will join him in the air. We'll be caught up to him, as the scripture says, and we will return with him, and we will be where he is with all of his saints, with 10,000s and thousands of his saints, a myriad, a number innumerable of his saints. We will be with him, and we will have our marriage supper of the Lamb, while the world counsels together against the Lord and against his anointed. Yes, that's what they will be doing, and they will all become of one mind. And we'll talk more about this when we get back from these messages. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition, and I'm Nicholas Arthur. I'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled, When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the third temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn. The Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the third temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a re-established Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross Border. I'm Nicholas Arthur. Let's see. We're talking about World War III or CBDC. Which one will it be? Which will we get? Well, you can see they're doing everything they can. This is the year of CBDC, according to Joe Biden. Really pushing hard. A lot of people are sounding the alarm, but so far, FedNow, they don't have FedCoin yet, but FedNow, you've heard a lot of hoopla about it, but it's still a better transfer device between FDIC and Federal Reserve banking institutions, but they haven't killed the institution, so it's really not a CBDC yet. It's just a better thing for bank transfers between banks and, like I said, other federal institutions. So it's really nothing that we haven't already had, just a different branding of it, but it's going in the right direction. So CBDC, not so much. I have an article here on it. The BIS, the Bank of International Settlement, says CBDC rollout may require changing the Constitution. Bank of International Settlements? What do they have to do with our Constitution, right? Changing the Constitution. Well, I don't know why they're worried about changing the Constitution. And now, I mean, so far they've just been ignoring it, right? They didn't change the Constitution to change our money, even though it's written into our Constitution what kind of money we're supposed to have. But they're ignoring that, so... No, what the only reason they really want to change the Constitution is to totally get rid of it so that we don't have it. Because the Antichrist and his minions and his army of, they hate that document. And that's why they're doing everything in America to destroy it in the minds of the young and the people of our nation. But it's, you know, if you were in China and you were thinking about invading America and all you saw was the mainstream media, you would think, man, that's easy pickings. Look, their army is over there transgendering, and the people can't even have an airsoft gun, right? Yes, but the opposite is quite true, because I have another story, another picture. Every time that they talk about arms control, even banning airsoft guns, the American people are a different story from the mainstream media. We are not all transgender. I know I've seen a few in the news and they really parade them around. These idiots, these insane people, okay, who have lost their minds and are mentally ill, that are transgendering their own children. But I'm going to tell you that 99.99999999, almost to infinity, of the people of America do not want their little boys and girls to be transgendered. They do not want it. So China, Russia, if they believe that because of the mainstream media and what is seen out there, then they are in for a big surprise, because instead of people giving up their airsoft guns, they're going out and buying real guns. And even the liberals are buying guns. Okay? So we're still standing on good ground as we were during World War II. But that does that mean when the kings of the East come after Western Europe, which is just about a given, because everything else in the Bible prophecy has come to pass in the past, up through and including and moving beyond the French Revolution, the head wound that the Vatican received, yes, but that was healed in 1929, and I say during the era of the pouring out of the vial, the seventh vial, okay? And I'm going to say that era is the 40 years that encompasses World War I and World War II. Really the same revolution. The same, and I believe that is explicitly depicted in the seventh vial. And included in that era was the revival, the healing of the head wound at the same time in the same era. And the convulsions that, and the changing of the lines in the governments of men worldwide that happen after World War II with the rise of the image, the United Nations. Okay? So, I have to think, even if we had a World War III, could it be that World War I and II were nothing, and that we will really have what is depicted in the seventh vial with a World War III? Because that's the question we have to ask ourselves. And that's a good question. That's a viable question that we should ask. Can we have a World War III era that will be worse? Yeah, it's a question that I don't have an answer for. But I hope and pray that World War I, II was it, that that era was it for the seventh vial, and that there is not another. I'm hoping that the next big war will be Armageddon. But there is the Kings of the East thing that has to happen, and it's becoming easy to prognosticate from where we're sitting now. You don't have to be a prophet to see who the kings of the East are and where they are going to first direct their anger and their rage. Because I'll tell you what, Russia is angry and enraged. China, the CCP, not the people, there are likely more Christians in China than there are in America, definitely, just because of the mass amount of people that are in China. There may be as many Christians in China as there are people in America. And that is a possibility, though probably not likely. But you could perhaps say that maybe 10% of the people in China are true Christians, but that still would be more than are true Christians in America. Because our population, when you compare, what's their population now? 1.6 billion or something, near, you know, something like that. So it's just, and we're only 340 million and falling, except for the, you know, immigration that is happening in America. So, which, yeah. So these are questions that we must ask about what is left for the future. Now, if China and Russia do go after Western Europe, because it says kings, it doesn't say the king of the East. So the kings, each king represents a power. It's like the 10 kings or 10 horns of the beast. They're called kings in other places. But when you look at the Greek, it becomes clear that it's not specifically talking about a singular individual like Charles, the king of England. So, or a specific president or premier, that the king would be applied to an individual as well as a power or a nation in the Greek wording. I believe Therion and what's up. Well, we'll catch up on our Greek later, but you get the gist of it. So If they go after Europe first, Western Europe first, which is what they will do, because Russia is pretty enraged against Great Britain. And you know what I think? I think it's comeuppance for Great Britain as far as judgment. Yeah, sorry to say that to all of our friends in Great Britain, because, well, the French Revolution, the sixth vial when it was poured out, it affected the whole continent except for Great Britain, the tenth of the kingdom that fell away from the Antichrist. Okay, that one of the ten horns that fell away, those horns of power that fell away from the Antichrist. But World War II, they weren't directly conquered and invaded. Judgment, but was there repentance? What was the answer? What was Great Britain's answer to the judgment of World War II on their nation? Did they repent? Will it be worse this time? Yes, it will be much worse this time. This time, they are going to be directly targeted. If the way God judges nations continues to be the same. And it hurts me, and I feel sad and sorry to say something like that. But I believe that's what we're looking at. And I believe, well, America, World War I and World War II, we only got touched on the fringe with the Hawaiian Islands, with the attack on Hawaii. We just got touched. That was the judgment on America and the loss of our sons and daughters over on the continent when we went over to help the sea beast locality in its convulsions and judgments that were going on there. We went over to help them to fight the evil. And we got raised up to the most prominent place among the nations of the world by that action. And what has been America's answer? Not repentance, but more falling away, more rejection of God and His Word, more ignoring the rule of law, more falling away from the churches and godliness, coming to hate those things, but of course under the influence of the Antichrist and those three croaking frog spirits. And they're only there for one reason, and that's to sort people out so people can follow the true desires of their heart. But those that belong to God will reject the desires. Oh, they may be swayed or pulled a little bit, but they will always pull away, because it's not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit that we overcome, and only by His Spirit that we overcome. So I believe that in any judgment, say we do have a World War III, which some people, if you ask Rick Wiles, it's been ongoing for a year now. And other people have said it too. We're already in World War III. We're just seeing the beginning of it, because they're comparing it to the things that led up to World War I. And the only thing that led up to World War II was World War I and the aftermath of it. So really a continuance of the same thing. So America, I believe there will be some direct hits on America, but I don't believe that America will be totally invaded and taken over. That America will be damaged, highly damaged. And I believe that there will be specific damage to specific areas of America. Judgments from God will fall where God wants them to, because they are His judgments, and they have been throughout history. You can read it from Isaiah to Revelation. all of the judgments of the last 1950 years from 70 AD, include the judgment of 70 AD that fell on his own, the nation of his own people. Of course, he did give them 40 years from the crucifixion of the Messiah and their rejection of him nationally speaking, although there were probably millions in that nation that did receive him, still only being a minority of that nation. And of course, they were told by their king, their Messiah, to flee. And they did flee, so that not one of God's people, not one Christian, was caught up in the 70 AD desolation of the temple, the city, and Judea. They had all fled because they all were moved by the Spirit. All of the true were moved by the Spirit of God, and they took the gospel to the world. That's right. And the rest, as they say, is history. Let me check the chat rooms here. What's going on over here? We got... okay, no questions, no comments. I started... okay, just a lot of tech talk going over there. A few people saying thanks, and so you're welcome. I'd like to have a little more interaction about the things I'm saying here. It kind of helps to carry on. So anyway, we're looking at this article here. Bank of International Settlements says CBDC rollout may require changing the Constitution. See, Josephus said they saw armies fighting in the clouds. Thank you for that, Dale. And yeah, there were signs that we hear about things like that. Odyssey is playing Tom Fress. He says, weird. Oh, you have to refresh your browser. Otherwise, if you put it on pause, it'll play what pick up where you paused. Your name and where you're calling from. Yes, and it's my quiet caller. Just let me know. The phone does ring, but whether someone can actually speak through it, well, we know because Mike used it earlier. Yeah, now where was I? Oh, Josephus said they saw armies fighting in the clouds, but Jesus didn't return. Okay, so, because, you know, they may have seen, and there were things that were happening that Josephus and a few other people write about, and I can't confirm or deny any of those things, nor would I want to confirm or deny any of those things. There's no way that I can confirm them, except that they were written and a lot of odd things happen. You know, it's like the great earthquake that shook the foundations of the temple and ripped the veil in the temple from top to bottom and jarred the gates so that they had to repair them or they came off of their hinges. I mean, these talking these huge, you know, gates of the temple that nobody could just pick up. And it put an end to the sacrifice, but, you know, they repaired the veil in the temple and they carried on and made it an abominable sacrifice, a standing practice in the temple. And that's when you saw the abomination that maketh desolate standing in the holy place. It was a standing practice to continue abominable animal sacrifices. No, they were not abominable before the earthquake. They were not abominable before Christ was crucified. But after he was crucified, when he put an end to the efficacy of the animal sacrifices, what efficacy they had, and none of it was permanent. It was all a temporary looking forward to what he did. Yeah. Anvil Stryker says, some guy on mushrooms saw fiery chariots. Yeah, we always need a little humor in there. Speaking of a little humor. we're coming on the end of the hour. We got a lot more to talk about in the next hour, so you're going to want to come back. But for the remainder, for the duration, look, like, share, follow, okay, whatever venue you're on, like, share, and follow. Wherever you're listening, please do it now or during the break when you get, after you get your next cup of coffee or whatever it is that you need to keep hydrated over there, your kombucha tea, your green tea, whatever, I don't care. All right, let's see, I had some stuff here from the Babylon Bee. 10 ingenious ways to avoid paying taxes. We'll have to have a show about that sometime. But my, yes, Stephen says, sorry, Nicholas, working always, but my bee, we should be gleaning. Oh, maybe we should be gleaning. Yes. 10 ingenious ways to avoid taxes. One of them is being poor. Yeah, that's pretty much the one I've chosen, although I don't consider myself poor at all. Miss Netherlands champing at the bit to compete in the next beauty pageant. Yeah, that's a guy? Wow. Ooh, not Bud Light. What else? Have they got anything funny today? Planet Fitness, FBI conducting surveillance of far-right terrorist training ground. Yeah, okay, I guess that's funny. Gay couple present surrogate mother with gift of beautiful red robe. Oh yeah, look, she has a lampshade on her head. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I get it. I think that's, what was that, that's that show called? Oh, The Handmaid's Tale. Yeah, that's it. I think Babylon Bee nailed it on this one. Surrogate mother with a gift of beautiful red robe and a lampshade on her head. Oh, hilarious. Okay, obese man explains to doctor he's just fighting far-right extremism. Yes, guess that's a thing today. Okay. Trailer park named Paradise Oasis, slightly exaggerated. Yeah, you know, all of those trailer parks are leftovers from a bygone era when people drove around the country and had a lot of motels and parks for to park for the weekend and vacation at. Yeah, no longer paradise. All right, let's see what else we got. Moses asked God if he could repart the Red Sea real quick because he dropped his sunglasses in there. No, I was thinking so he could get back out of the Holy Land. I think there might be a kind of movement because they're having a revolution over there in Israel too. Although I'm not sure I really know what it's all about, but maybe it's something that we should look into in the future. Yeah. It's like looking into what's happening over there in France. I guess I'll call Chris Pinto and ask him to look into the revolution in Israel and see if he can tell us what's really going on over there too. All right, let's see what else we got. Oh, I guess that's it for the Babylon Bee. But, yeah. So, yeah, that some of that stuff makes me cringe. Just hate to see it. All right, let's check out the chat room in the last few minutes here. Message retracted. Yeah, I like those. Took me a second to get the lampshade one. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. If you see the pic, the picture here, I'll put it back up here, the lampshade one. Yes, that's the one. There you go. That's what it's really about. A Handmaid's Tale. That's real life Handmaid's Tale in America. Hands, however you say that, right. That's it. Yes, indeed. Yes, just ask your travel... Is a Department of Transportation czar, Pete Buttigieg. That's right. I think the G is silent at the end, isn't it? At least that's what David Knight says. Yeah, the G at the end is silent. All right. Okay, well, when we come back, we're going to talk more about World War III, the Seventh Vial, the Kings of the East, and who they are. I think we've got it figured out now. I think I can make an announcement. It really doesn't take a whole lot of special Holy Spirit power to see the writing on the wall, because I believe the writing is on the wall as far as that is concerned. Okay, we're going to come back after some news, so make sure you do that, and don't go anywhere.
The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition here on First Amendment Radio 5 days a week, and with rebroadcasts on the weekend. We fill the weekend with all of our programs during the week and rebroadcast for those people who can't listen during the week. They might want to listen during the weekend, so try to make sure nobody misses anything. Everything is also available on demand, but a lot of people are busy. They keep their hands busy and they work, so they can just listen to the live stream anywhere, anytime, while at work, if they're able to or not. It's always there. Go to firstamendmentradio.com/Mobi or firstamendmentradio.net/Mobi. And you can listen during the day, or anytime, anywhere. You can even watch on our mobile app. There's a video button at the top, so you can see the video page. I believe on there we have Rumble, the Rumble page video on there. Okay. We have Revelation chapter 16 and verse 17, where the seventh angel pours out his vial into the air. An interesting thing, into the air. Yeah. Before that, the sixth vial, speaking of the ways of the kings of the east, the sixth vial poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. I think the answer is in the text of the verse itself, or the sentence itself, that the way of the kings of the east is because the kings that reside on the great river Euphrates, their power has dried up, their military might has dried up. Okay? But the military might of the kings of the east is greater than ever before. Yeah. Especially as compared with all of the nations of the west in Western Europe. They are very mighty. So, they are prepared. And that's all it says, that they might be prepared. So that preparation is what has been going on since the pouring out of the sixth vial.
Your name and where you're calling from. You're on the air. Another interruption. Okay. All right. That's why I want to ban. I think I should ban the phone and go to something else. But I'm pretty busy, so it's kind of hard to get that. That's a huge project. Getting rid of the phone and, say, hooking up Skype. Yeah. You got to hook up all the wires and stuff. It's very technical. But anyway, back to what we're talking about. When the sixth vial was poured out, the way of the kings, plural, of the east might be prepared. So it is prepared. And the effects of the sixth vial, as the text of the sixth vial, that is what comes between where it says, and the sixth angel poured out. And then the next, the seventh vial says, and the seventh angel poured out. So the text in between there is what we're going to call the text of the sixth vial and the actions of the sixth vial. Okay. And it says, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Of course, the dragon represents Satan, paganism, and everything satanic. Out of the mouth of the beast represents everything having to do with world government, the governments of men, okay? And out of the mouth of the false prophet, of course, refers specifically to the false prophet, the Antichrist. The false prophet is the antithesis of the true prophet. And of course, who is the true prophet but Christ himself? So the false prophet is another name for the Antichrist, the man of sin. Yes, the leader of the great apostasy, the greatest apostasy that ever was and is and likely ever will be. Yeah, because I don't see another one, greater one, rising up right now. There's no greater apostasy than the great apostasy that is up and running right now with its great papa. Yeah. And I believe it's these words that are getting me shadow banned on Google and YouTube and even Odyssey and Rumble. Because, you know, going along on Odyssey a few months ago, a little aside here, and looking and going and seeing a few hundred people watching First Amendment Radio on Odyssey going, wow, maybe I have a chance to, you know, get a little audience share here. But no, not now, because now we just went over there and I looked at what's going on Odyssey right now, and I have 5 people watching on Odyssey. Yeah. So good. Am I really that awful, that terrible, after hundreds of people jumped on months ago in the beginning when I first got on there, that people went, oh, this is terrible. Spread the word. Don't even go to First Amendment Radio because, whatever. And it's kind of the same thing on Rumble. Yeah, it's kind of, seems like I'm growing, but then it kind of backs off. Yeah. And, what do I care? You know what? I don't care. And the reason I don't care is because God is in charge. And if he really wants someone to come over and listen to First Amendment Radio on Rumble or Odyssey or in the many fishing ponds that, you know, I throw my hook in, my fishing for men hook, okay, you guys are the lucky few who've got hooked and are listening and being fed and edified by our programming at First Amendment Radio. So, yeah, because I look at some of the other stuff that takes off and does well, and I'm going, I'm not that bad. I'm not that uneloquent. I'm not that ugly. When I compare it to what seems to do well, as long as they don't traverse the ground that exposes
the historical, the biblical and historical Antichrist. Yeah. Once you tread that ground, yeah, you don't want to go there. I'm warning you. You know, if you haven't gone there yet and you're doing good and you're growing on whatever venue you're on, you're fighting the New World Order, you know, you're naming the Jews and you're naming the Masons and the Rothschilds and yeah, and all those bad people out there, but you won't tread on the feet of the biblical and historical Antichrist. You'll be all right. Calm down. You will be all right. Anyway, getting back to biblical and historical Antichrist and the false prophet. That's who he is. He is the false prophet. He is the antithesis of the true prophet. No, it's not Muhammad. Yes, Muhammad is a false prophet, but he is not the false prophet of the revelation. There is only one the true prophet, and there is only one the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, and, of course, which go forth into the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty, meaning that the effects of this vial will continue until Christ returns and gathers his people in Megiddo, or on the mountains of Megiddo, wherever we're going to gather, because I believe the great battle is going to happen in the valley of Megiddo. But we're probably not going to be in that valley. I don't know. We might be floating in the clouds over the mountains of Megiddo. I don't know. All the specific localities, we'll find out. It's really not all that important. But we do have a near location of where all this is going to happen. Okay. And then Jesus interposes here. We have his words. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And that's all of the elect. Yeah. They will watch and they will keep your garments. Yeah. It doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. It means that we will continue to be perfected until the day comes, as it's always been for God's people. God's people are repenting people. They walk the repentance road, the narrow way that leads to life. They continually change their mind. They have their minds washed by the water, by the washing of the water of the Word. They become more and more conformed every day to the image of the only begotten Son of God. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And there will be those that will fall away. There will be those that will embrace the ungodliness. They will throw off the truth for a lie. Yeah. And it's becoming so evident today that, do I really have to say it? No, I don't. And then it says, and he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Yes, Armageddon. And then the seventh angel pours out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. Finally, the last vial has been poured out. Finally. It is done. The last vial of judgment has been poured onto the earth. There will be no more vials after this one. And there came a great voice out of the temple from heaven saying, from the throne saying, it is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings. And there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. Of course, we know this apocalyptic language is speaking of wars and convulsions in the earth among the nations of men. There were voices and thunderings, and a great earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city Babylon was divided into three parts. And the cities of the nations fell. And you notice that the cities of the nations fell as a result of the great city being divided into three parts. And I believe that is actually the three divisions of the great Babylon power that has conquered the whole earth. Through that division, she has conquered the whole earth. And I have a posting on my website. It's called The Unholy Trinity That Rules the World. What is it called? If I go there, I can look at it, right? Here it is at the top. The Empire of the City at my website. You'll see it in the middle there at the top. The Unholy Trinity That Rules the World. I believe that is what I depict there is a depiction of the division of the great city into its three parts through which it rules the entire world right now. Everything that's happening to America is coming from the Antichrist, the biblical and historical Antichrist, and filtering down through his many, many operatives in the world, through his Jesuit army and their control everywhere in the world, and all of those organizations they control. When you hear people speak of, it's the Masons. No, it's the Rothschilds. It's the bankers. It's the Illuminati. It's the Committee of 300 or whatever it is. It's the WEF. But all of these operations are subsidiary to the Antichrist and his shadow government. Your name and where are you calling from?
It's Bill from Ohio.
Hey, Bill.
You're talking about the three-part collapse. Is that Rome, London, and D.C., or is that Jerusalem?
No, it's not Jerusalem. It would be the Vatican, City of London, and Washington, D.C. That's the three power centers.
Yeah. How does it break apart? I don't get it.
Well, it's a division. It's not physical breaking apart, but it is a division of power. It's the great city divided into three parts.
Right.
So, anyway, that's the best I got. I know there may be other ideas out there, but I'm looking for the one that best fits and is compatible with what we have written in the scripture and the interpretation of prophecy throughout, of apocalyptic prophecy through the Old and New Testament. So that's what I'm looking for. And I believe that's the best that I have so far, Bill. So if you have any other ideas or, I'm always willing to hear it. But if something better.
There's one other thing I want to talk about,
No.
I don't know if there's any other ideas.
Well, whatever you got. Go ahead.
What's that?
Go ahead.
I'm just trying to figure out, is it falls apart? Is that when the people will turn on, and that's when everybody will from the boots will look away and say, oh, the great city Babylon is fallen, is fallen? Is that time, or is it some other time?
Oh, I don't really know what you're referring to with those statements.
When all the merchants of the world are looking afar off, and the city's burning, and the smoke.
Oh, no, that's the judgment is coming on Babylon later. That's still one major event that has to happen between now and the return of Christ is the direct judgment of the great city. And I believe that may have something to do with the time of the kings of the east, when they come, that Babylon will receive that retribution, maybe sometime during that or after that, it says that the ten horn powers are going to turn on her. So because actually, if they find out, if they realize at some time that she has brought all this woe on them, I believe they are going to turn on her and destroy her with fire. So, I believe that's a different judgment that has yet to come. Because the great city be divided into three parts, I don't believe is judgment, because it says, and the cities of the nations fell as a result of that division. But the apocalyptic language there isn't talking about an actual earthquake on a certain locality. But that type of apocalyptic language is always talking about warfare. And if the result is the cities of the nations fell, that's not Great Babylon falling. It's the cities of the nations falling as a result. That's the way I'm seeing it.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate the program.
You're welcome, Bill. Thanks for calling. And any other questions are welcome. Could Megiddo be a mistranslation for Muriak? That's from WW. Well, I don't know what the Muriak is, or whether it could be a translation, but I guess I could make a note of that and look into it. Armageddon America. No, definitely not. Yeah. Because America is not written in the Bible anywhere, I don't believe, anyway. Not specifically named as America. Odyssey is still stuck on Tom Fress. You're kidding. Really? It is? Well, I have to take a look. I can't believe they're still stuck on Tom Fress.
His devil's disciple, Act 3, 12.
Oh, it is. Wow, that is bizarre. Wow. Okay, let's see. Get off my page here. Oh, there's a close that. Okay. Wow, that is so weird. And keep putting these commercials up here. Sorry about that, people. Just trying to see where the restart button is for this thing. Okay, well, I guess we're not going to do that. Sorry about that, all you Odyssey listeners. No wonder there's only five people at Odyssey. They seem to be stuck on doing a loop of the video 2 hours before the broadcast began. No good now. The show's almost more than halfway over. Okay, what was I doing here before I got that? I do want to see if I can restart that video somehow. That is crazy. Yeah, but he's right. Uh-huh. Yeah, usually they have something you can do.
His devil's disciple.
Reset stream. There's that button I was looking for.
It says
restreams set reset. Yeah, successfully. Okay, stop that. Huh. Who knew that was a thing? Not me. Okay. Sorry about the interruption there, but now we're going into a break here. We'll pick up here when we get back from the break. Let me see. We got no video on FAR either. What does that mean? Well, I know there's video on Rumble, and there's video on YouTube, and there's video on DLive, because I've never had a problem with them. And Dale says 5.5, so that means it's okay, 5x5. Can you change your name in upper left-hand corner? Oh, you, speaking to someone else. All right. See what else we got here. Jerusalem makes sense. No, Jerusalem is also symbolic in the Revelation for the church, because we're taking Old Testament symbols in the Revelation and we're applying them to the church. Because remember, the Revelation is a prophecy. If you read the first chapter, you'll get it. It's a prophecy to the church, not to Israel. And see, that's where the preterists have it wrong, because they turn it into a prophecy to national Israel, not to the church. Because if the revelation from chapter 6 through 19, they call themselves partial preterists if they believe that the millennium is real and Jesus is actually coming back again. I think that's what a partial preterist is today. Okay? But they believe that everything, boy, they've come up with some, it's really a doozy of stuff that they come up with to make chapter 6 through 19 apply to 70 AD. They go, just read it. Just ask, I think what's his name is doing a really good job of that is, Chuck Baldwin. It's really something to read. You just go, wow. Can you really stretch and twist the scripture that much to make all those chapters apply to 70 AD? Yeah, what a work. What a job. How amazing it is. Okay, I'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere. Hi, I'm Nicholas Arthur, and I'd like to introduce you to my latest book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism in the 21st century. As with primitive biblical Christianity, historicism is the method of prophecy interpretation restored with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, and had become so widely held that for a long time it was called the Protestant view. My book is not so much about the errors of dispensationalism or amillennialism. Rather, it is about the historicist alternative to understanding many of the same passages from the vantage point of prophecy fulfilled in history. For those that desire more than mere hypotheses, bolstered with conjectured speculation, those who require explicit biblical exegesis and verified historical fulfillment, and are not willing to accept speculation as anything other than what it is. Speculation, not truth. This book is for you. Over the last century, this method of interpretation has become almost completely forgotten, even by Protestants, in the face of a method that is based almost entirely on future speculation, rather than fulfilled prophecy in history. In my book, I examine the reasons for this and investigate some of the prophecy which has been fulfilled in the interim, as well as present an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism to the 21st century. If you're interested in a copy of my book, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and get more information there. Or you may also find it at Amazon.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
We're back. All right, we're talking about the symbols of the Revelation being symbols of the church counterpart. When speaking of Jewish symbols, we need to apply them not to the Jewish church, but to the Christian church. The 70th week ended. Okay? Ended. Now we're, and read chapter 1. And if you come up with a Jewish prophecy and from Christ to the Jews, then I'll throw in my hat and I'll say that you're right and I've been wrong. But there is no way that you come up with a book to the Jews of a Jewish prophecy of the destruction of Jerusalem explicitly to the church. And the symbols being used are the counterpart of the Christian church. The symbols of the Jewish temple are applied to the counterpart in the Jewish church. So when Jerusalem is used, it is the capital of the visible church on earth, which was Jerusalem. But in the church, it is Rome, because Rome was where the church began as a national church when paganism was overthrown in Rome. The nation became a Christian nation. That's history by Constantine. Okay? And ever since then, it's been the capital of Christianity, as Jerusalem was always the capital of Christianity. So Rome is still the capital of the visible church on earth, even though it is the capital of the great apostasy. And that great Babylon, okay, has being divided into three parts. As I gave you the link there in the chat room to my article on that. You can check that out later. Make sure you share it with everyone, okay, on all of your things. If you have comments, there's comments below, please. If you have comments or objections and you have something you can think you can stand on that you can biblically overthrow it, I need to see that, because I have to admit I may have blind spots. And if I can biblically overthrow anything that I'm teaching, then I will overthrow it. That's how I got where I am today, by overthrowing everything I believed that was wrong and testing everything with the scripture itself. That's why I don't believe in pre-tribulation secret rapture, because the Bible overthrows it. That's why I don't believe in a lot of things that are popular. And that's why I can put my finger on the biblical and historical Antichrist from the scripture. And I can't overthrow it by the scripture. So, Forever in Christ says, I don't see London playing a part. Well, read that article. It's there for you. And then ask yourself this question. Do you believe in the mark of the beast, and that it will be a mark that you need in order to buy or sell or trade, meaning it has to be monetary, meaning that the Antichrist has to control the monetary systems of the world? Am I wrong in my deduction there? Does one thing lead to another or not? See, that's another thing when you watch True News that he totally ignores. He's totally ignoring the mark of the beast and the digital. And he's always looking at it's got to be, but what about the mark of the beast and the coming from the Antichrist? Doesn't the Antichrist need the power of money? And he has it through the city of London. Not London proper, London, England, but the square mile city that is its own city-state. There are three city-states in the world, and they all belong to the Antichrist. As a matter of fact, he established Washington, D.C. Read F. Tupper Saucy's Rulers of Evil. And I think there should be a link to it. But if you can't find it, you can get an ebook from Amazon, but don't waste your money. Go to my website. There's a link there to my website, and you'll be at that article there. Yeah. And you look up above that article, if you're checking out the article, Empire of the City, the Unholy Trinity that Rules the World, there's a Bible study tab right above the center pyramid. If you click on that and you go down to the lower right-hand list there, it says, in the links, it says Rulers of Evil, F. Tupper Saucy. There's a copy, there's a link to a PDF. You can read the book for free. Okay, PDF copy there of the actual printed version of the book. And it's a pretty good version, too. If you click on it, it should open up in your browser or even on your stupid phone, and you'll see it there. Rulers of Evil, Useful Knowledge About Governing Bodies, F. Tupper Saucy, and you'll have the whole book there. 1999, Frederick Tupper Saucy. Okay. So, yeah, make sure you do that. Okay. So if you read that, check out the scripture, consider the things I'm saying, read the article, The Empire of the City, The Unholy Trinity That Rules the World, and ask yourself, is it a viable interpretation for the prophecy? And I say, yes, it is. If I could exclude it by the scripture, I would have. And if you think I missed something that excludes it, please, please notify me so that I can verify and exclude it. Otherwise, I'm running with it because I believe that it is well in line with apocalyptic interpretation as revealed by the scripture. So I hope that helps out there. Forever in Christ, Jerusalem does not make sense. Otherwise, the revelation is a Jewish prophecy and not a Christian prophecy. Okay. And also the prophecy being written at 95 AD, we have overwhelming empirical evidence that that is the case. The preterists who say it was written in 65 AD or before 70 AD have no empirical evidence whatsoever. All they have is conjecture, which is, as I've discussed several weeks ago, conjecture is the most favored method of interpreting Bible prophecy accepted in the world today. Most people believe in conjectured interpretation of Bible prophecy, because your three most popular interpretations that people believe in, one, a pre-tribulation rapture, dispensationalism, is all built on conjecture, okay? Amillennialism, all conjecture. Preterism, all conjecture. Nothing explicit in the Bible to support any of those three things, but they have 10,000 conjectures. And I'm using the word 10,000 there symbolically to mean an overwhelming myriad of conjectures. Who knows? The more time goes on, the more conjectures they conjure up from the scripture. Yes, Forever in Christ says about D.C., I'm aware that it is Vatican-owned. Yes, established and even established by the Vatican. As a matter of fact, I believe they were behind the Constitution, and I believe that they tricked a lot of good Protestants into centralizing power in Washington, D.C., one of the Antichrist's favorite methods of taking control, because he knows when he can centralize power, he can corrupt power, because he had been doing it for, 1600 years at the time that the Constitution was written, since the 6th century, and probably even practiced at it before that. The centralizing of power always brings corruption. It was the bad seed that was planted in the Constitution. Like I said last week, our senators and our congressmen should all never leave their states. They should have had conventions every year, maybe twice or three or four times a year, always in a different place to avoid the corruption of centralization. Yeah, that's the way it should have been. But hey, Constitution was not perfect, even though it was very, very good. It was not perfect. The seed that dragon speaking horn planted, that dragon speaking horn planted grew up into what we have today. It is fully matured. And that is so obvious today that it's undeniable. Yes, you're welcome forever in Christ. Let's see. No other comments in the chat room there. All right, getting back to our scripture verse here. So the seventh angel pours out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." And I'm believing that the "it is done" meaning that the last vial of judgments has been poured out. And so we have the great earthquake. An earthquake representing symbolically wars and commotions and the changing of nations and governments, such as was not since there were men upon the earth, so mighty in an earthquake and so great. And for years I've been praying to God and saying, what about World War? I mean, specifically going, Lord, what about World War I and World War II? Where do they fit? And finally, now it comes to me. Yeah, the seventh vial, it's right here. This great earthquake, so mighty an earthquake and so great. The great city was divided into three parts and the cities of the nations fell. What did they fall to? Who did they fall to? Babylon. And so great Babylon. See, Babylon remains great after being divided into three parts. I don't think there's a mistake here in the chronology of the verse. The great city was divided into three parts. The cities of the nations fell. Great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. So we have that to look forward to. After all that, it's not a past judgment, the one where Great Babylon is burnt with fire and all of the shipmasters and of the earth look on from afar and watch her burn and lament. Okay? Yeah, that's going to happen. Okay? But it isn't just Babylon, but I believe that a lot of the judgment to come from the kings of the east is going to fall specifically on the centers of the great whore Babylon all over the earth. Yeah, so you don't want to be, I don't think you want to be near Washington, D.C. You certainly probably don't want to be near San Francisco. You might be want to be in some remote part of California, you know, where people are still mostly normal. Yeah, where you don't even have to think about those things. Because in my neighborhood, I don't see any trannies. Like I said, I don't know any more homosexuals today than I knew 40 years ago. Because there were always a few standouts. Where I live, it's just, you know, I'm sure there's probably more out there, especially in the young generation, with the public schools teaching them to, But that's hopefully backfiring on them. But we continue to resist, no matter what. We don't give up and say, oh, well, it's all coming to an end, so I don't have to do anything. No. We work harder than ever. Yeah, I'm working harder than ever. I'm not retiring. You know, according to the world, I should have retired, you know, what, 6 years, or what was it, 62? Is that 8 years ago? And started collecting Social Security and kicking back and, you know, enjoying my retirement years, according to the world. But no, I won't take their money. I don't want to be dependent on them. I'd rather forget none of his benefits, because I think when you start receiving benefits from the world and from the beast powers of the world, then I think you tend to forget about God's benefits. And I don't want to forget his benefits. The Bible explicitly tells me to forget none of his benefits. So I think I'm going to have to be required to depend on all of his benefits. until I die, until he comes again, until I'm martyred, whatever my future holds for me. Yeah. I'm going to depend on his benefits. So, the great city was divided into three parts. And then Babylon came into remembrance. So we have the judgment after all that. It seems to me that if the first part of the verse here, the dividing into three parts and the cities and nations fell, if that was the judgment on Babylon, why would God, the remembrance would have come before the judgment? But I don't believe that is the judgment. I believe the judgment is here where he says to give unto her, give as in still pending judgment. So I believe that judgment is still pending. Yes. And then it says, and every island fled away, and the mountains were not found, and there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. And that's the end of chapter 16, which outlines the seven vile judgments. Now we get into 17, 18, and 19, we get into details, more information as to the wherefores and the who and the whys and the histories of the players. We get into the supplemental parts. So we go through, you have three chronologies in the Revelations. You have the seals, you have the trumpets, and then you have the vile judgments, one after the other. These are the three chronologies that fill up the whole era between the opening of the second century to the return of Christ when he comes back and we meet him in the air. These three chronologies fill up successively, one after the other, the entire era. Then we have our supplemental chapters that fill in the details, what fits into these chronologies, about the past of the characters that are involved. We fit everything into its place. And that's how we understand the Revelation. The chronologies do not run parallel with each other, but they're sequential, and they are explicitly sequential. You'll see that the seventh seal opens the seven trumpets. No mistake about it. Okay? And you'll see the seventh trumpet opens the final chronology of the seven seals. They are consecutive, one after another. They are not parallel, as some people try to say. And if you don't understand it, yeah, it is very confusing. And so that's what people who don't understand it, like amillennials and also the preterists, would have you believe, as well as the futurists, because they believe that the Revelation ignores the, from chapter 6, or 1950 years so far from the end of the second century, or 70 AD at least, from the end of 70 AD till today, about 1950 years, that the Bible just ignores that and jumps into the end. But it explicitly says in the first chapter that things which must shortly come to pass. So as to the commencement of the future things that are told beginning in chapter 6, they must shortly come to pass as to their commencement. And of course we know, because some things are off future after Christ returns, like the millennial reign of Christ, we know that everything doesn't commence and shortly come to pass immediately, as the preterists say, but it has to come to pass as to its commencement and continue until it's all fulfilled with the millennial reign of Christ. And so, for instance, we learn that from Daniel chapter 11, which is a prophecy of the 70 weeks era, the 490 year era that Daniel talked about, that was prophesied. God filled that whole era in with a prophecy of the machinations and the nations that had to do with Israel from the beginning of the 70th week when the prophecy was given until the end of the 70th week when the prophecy was when all of those prophecies were fulfilled. And then it trails on off into the future because Israel and is involved in that at the end for all of those that are going to be resurrected and the eternal state. But it is specifically a prophecy of that era. So that entire chapter, chapter 11. And that's why a lot of people say that Daniel was written after the fact, because the prophecy was so exacting and correct that people just couldn't believe that it wasn't written after the fact. Well, you take chapter 11 of Daniel and you consider that's 490 years, okay, in that one chapter. Well, we have chapters 6 through 19 to go through 1900, almost 2000 years of prophecy. So we need a few more chapters to fill that era in. And a lot more details, because there's a lot more characters in things going on than there were in Israel just as a nation, where they could have the entire 490 weeks era laid out in one chapter, chapter 11 of Daniel. So the revelation between chapter 6 and chapter 20, or the end of chapter 19, is like that. It's to that 490-year period. It is to the last 60 years, as chapter 11 was to the 70 weeks of Daniel. And it makes sense, because God continued to give us prophecy, which is history in advance. That's what prophecy is. God-given prophecy is history in advance. Is it or is it not? Well, if you listen to the amillennials, the preterists, and the dispensationalists, it isn't, at least not for the last 1960 years, okay? They say, no, not for that era. God skipped that. But what era did he skip for Israel? None. He didn't skip any. He included it all. Why would he skip giving us prophecy in advance for the church? So that the church for the last 1900 years going, none of this prophecy is true, according to the dispensationalists and the futurists. They go, this has nothing to do. God doesn't verify nothing. This is all for the future or something. And there's no way I can verify it. But no, the church, if you go through history, even the early fathers, they pinpointed the reformers said, here's our place in prophecy. They could follow the prophecy throughout history and verify that God's prophecy in advance, I mean history in advance, what we call a prophecy, was true and verifiable throughout history. Of course, that kind of knowledge of history and prophecy had to be suppressed. That's why you don't learn it in your public schools or in your churches. Because the great educators of the world, yes, the great educators of the world, the very part of the very top tier of the Antichrist army that he rules the world through, yes, they are the great educators of the world. Need I name them? No, you already know who they are just by me saying that. They are the great educators of the world, and they control every organization in this country that has to do with education, including your teachers' associations and your library associations. And look at the result. Look what they've done. Well, that's the end of this broadcast. May the Almighty bless you and keep you as you travel on the narrow way that leads to life. Yes, that repentance road. I'll see you next time.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.